Just a couple of ideas to try to make the Yom Kippur a more meaningful experience. And I'd like to talk today about the nature of human sin from a very personal place, and then try to understand how to rectify sin and how to translate that into having a more meaningful Yom Kippur. So I hope that what we'll speak about today will give us a framework or a prism for how to view our personal avodah on Yom Kippur. So when I think about chet, when I think about sin, I think there are three basic roots of sin, at least from my own personal experience. What leads, when I say a root of sin, what I mean is what leads a person to sin? What's the context in which a person ends up sinning? Perhaps the most extreme context, and probably the most egregious, is when a person really doesn't see eye to eye with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I have my own plan, I have what I want to do, and I reject what I know God wants of me. A person might say, the halacha is X, and I don't agree with that. I want to do something else. I don't agree with the Torah's perspective on this. I'm gonna do it my way. You know, it could sometimes be with Chazal. Chazal might tell us a certain geder that they created. They say, don't do A, because you might end up coming to do B. And you say, I'm not going to come and do B. I know myself better. I can do A. Listen, A is only a gezerah, shema, I'll come to do B. And I'm not going to do B. It's not such a big deal. You know, this is for everybody else. We sometimes have those types of thoughts that, oh, this gezerah of Chazal, this derabbanan, this is for everybody else. But I'll be okay. I'm going to do it my way. That's one root of sin. The second root is I accept Hashem's vision. I accept Chazal's perspective, but I have a weak will. I'm not trying to convince myself that this is not a sin, or I'm not trying to convince myself that this is not necessary. I know it's wrong. I know it's necessary, but I'm weak. So I know there's a halacha, I'm not supposed to do A, or I'm not supposed to do B. But what can I do? I'm very weak. I'm weak-willed. I'm not able to prevent myself from doing this. I'm not able to control myself. I recognize my weakness. And that's why I'm sinning. It's because I just can't control myself. I know I shouldn't look at that. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't touch that. But it's hard. It's hard for me. And the last root of sin, or the last context in which I think a person sins, there might be more, but these are the three that stick out to me, is that a person has a lapse of consciousness of Hashem, or a lapse of consciousness of what halacha is, what they should be doing. A person's on autopilot. It's not that he doesn't believe that the sin is a sin, and it's not even that he has this struggle where he feels weak and he's unable to control himself. It's just that the person is pushing on autopilot, so he's just not mindful of what's going on. And the next thing he knows, he sinned. Each of these different roots of sin, I think, manifest themselves differently in how we relate to sin before we actually commit the sin. Right? The person who, the first approach that we suggested, the person who has his own plan, he rejects Hashem's vision of what should be done. He has his own vision. So such a person embraces his sinful act. He intellectually, he doesn't care that Hashem says it's wrong, because intellectually he's decided it's fine. So he embraces the sinful act, not because it's a sinful act, but because he creates in his mind an intellectual construct that it's not really a sin. I've had parents who have, or adults, parents, I don't mean parents of students, I mean adults I've spoken to, and they've said, oh, I don't think God really cares about that. So that's reconstructing your own perspective on halacha. I know Chazal says this is a problem, but I don't think Hashem really cares about that. Eh, what does it make a difference if I do this sin or that sin? Hashem doesn't really care. So there, you're sort of embracing the sinful act because you're reinterpreting it to not be a sinful act. And then we have, in the second category, the person who sins because he's weak-willed. So in that situation, a person, he hates the sinful act. He doesn't embrace it. He hates sin, but he's powerless to control himself. It's not that he doesn't care. He cares. But he knows that he's weak. So it's a very different perspective on sin. You have some people who, you know, let's say everybody knows that, you know, a rated R movie that has an inappropriate scene in it. It's not something that we're supposed to be watching. We recognize that. So some people don't recognize that. Some people embrace it. And they say it's a great film, great cinema, great drama. Oh, the fact that there's some inappropriate scenes. Eh, God doesn't really care about that. Eh, that's not a big deal. As long as I'm good to people, God doesn't care. Oh, to do this on Shabbos, to do that on Shabbos, eh, God doesn't really care. That's embracing sin. And that's intellectually creating your own perspective on what God wants. The second category of sin is where a person says, I know I shouldn't be watching this. I know it's not appropriate, but it's such a good movie. Everyone's talking about it. I can't control myself. I know I shouldn't be doing this on Shabbos, but I'm weak. I can't control myself. And again, the last category is not embracing sin, and it's not hating sin. It's just being completely oblivious. It's being unaware of the sinful act until it's too late. I would care, but I don't really think about it. I go through my day, and I say this, and I do that. And if you would call me out on it and say, why are you doing that? You would say, oh, I wasn't really so thoughtful of what I was doing. It just sort of, you know, a person, he goes online and there's inappropriate pictures coming up and there's inappropriate advertisements. And you say to him, like, why are you? And he says, oh, I don't know. I didn't really think about it. You know, it just sort of came in front of me. A person does something on Shabbos and we say to him, you know, that's a sin. And he says, oh, I wasn't really even thinking about it. Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have been doing that. I guess it wasn't right. Or I know it's not right, but I just wasn't really thinking so much. So it could be, I'm not 100% convinced, but it could be that these three contexts in where a person sins, it could be that we can associate those with three terms that we identify with sin. And we say these over and over again in davening, on Yom Kippur, and that's pesha, avon, and chet. Pesha means a rebellion, to rebel. It's a pesha, merit. So that certainly is appropriate for the first category. When a person says, I know this is, Hashem says this is wrong, but I disagree, or I don't think this is a sin. I know Chazal said not to do this, but I don't think it's such a big deal. It's creating your own Torah. That's pesha. That's rebellion. Avon is a lashon of straying. It's like an inability to stay on the course. It's an inability to, you know, it's hard for me to stay focused. It's hard for me to stand up to sin. Maybe that's avon. And the last that we talk about, the last type of sin is maybe chet. Chet really just means to miss the mark. It's just a bad shot. It's a straying, but it's not a straying because I'm weak and I'm unable to. But chet means to miss the mark. It's just I'm not focused well enough. I'm careless. How do we rectify these sins? Because these are the sins that we all struggle with. There are certain chataim that we do because we've decided that this halacha I'm keeping, this halacha I'm not keeping. That perhaps is a pesha. And then there are chataim that we all do because we have a weak will. We it's hard for us to control ourselves. And then there are chataim that we do because we're just not focused enough. We're not paying attention. You know, the halachos that we learned, we're just not thinking about them. We're thinking about a sports game. We're thinking about, like, I want to watch this movie. And it's not that I'm sitting there watching the movie and I'm saying to myself, I really shouldn't be doing this, but what can I do? I'm weak. I just don't think about it. It's not coming from a place of saying, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm weak. It's coming from a lack of, not only a lack of knowledge, it's a lack of really caring about Torah and mitzvos, because we don't think about it. I mean, before we would invest money, we would obviously first think to ourselves, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Is this the right thing to do? But it could be that when it comes to certain areas of halacha, we just act. And then afterwards, when we're asked about it, we say, oh, you know what? I didn't really even think about it. Like, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. So how do we rectify these things? So I think there are certain perspectives that we could try to internalize. And I think that's what Yom Kippur is going to be about, that will help rectify a lot of these sins. In terms of the pesha, in terms of the rebellious sin, the sin where I say, I know something's not appropriate, but I'm going to do my own thing. It could be that here we have to work on accepting Hashem's will. There's a certain hisbatlus, self-negation to the Ratzon Hashem, a negation of self. It could be that on Yom Kippur, when we're davening, what should we be thinking about during that long Shemon Esrei? You know, during Chazar Sashatz, you could just take out a book and read, and that just is passing the time. Or maybe during Chazar Sashatz, you should be sitting there and thinking. And what should you be thinking about? Thinking about that I'm batel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I stand there, I'm hungry, maybe I even have a headache, I'm tired, and I stand there and I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm batel to you. I'm mevatel myself before you. One of the things the Rambam says a person should say, this is in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says that when a person says vidui, he should say two things, two words, he says. I mean, there's a longer vidui, but two of the words that I'd like to focus on, he says, I sinned, v'hare nichamti uboshti. What does nichamti mean? Nichamti. So nechama in general means to reorient yourself intellectually, to reconsider. For instance, Shmuel says, Nichamti ki himlachti yishol. I reconsidered. I have to rethink this. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Bereishis, Nichamti ki asisa. After he sees that man sins. So he says, I have to reconsider this. And when a person's sitting Shiva, we want them to have a nechama, the process of Shiva is supposed to give them a re-perspective on what happened. When a person immediately suffers a loss, so there's a horrible feeling of emptiness and loss and tragedy. And we hope that through the process of Shiva, a person comes and has a re-perspective, a reorientation. So when we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nichamti mimasai, I'm reorienting myself. Maybe this is a tikkun for the Pesha. This is a tikkun for, I had my own plan and I'm intellectually reorienting myself to you. I'm realigning myself to the way you think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm realigning myself to the Chazal's vision. So if we sin because we rebel, our tikkun, our rectification will come by being mevatel ourselves and say, you know what, Chazal, you do know better than I do about what's right for me. You know what, Hashem, you do know better than I know about what's right and what's wrong. So there's a hispatlus, I'm mevatel myself, and there's this nechama, there's this reorientation, nechamti, a re-perspective, intellectually, where I say, I don't know better than God. The second stage, I think, of tshuva is going to be a recognition of our weaknesses. And that's going to relate to the second form of sin, the sin that stems from having a weak will. Here, we don't need an intellectual reorientation. We don't need a nichamti. I don't have to reorient myself intellectually. I always knew that this was a sin, and I still know it's a sin, but I was weak. I wasn't able to control myself. So the kapara here is to recognize my human weakness, to be honest with myself, take stock of the human condition, not to try to justify it, but to say, you know what, Hashem, please give me kapara because I humbly acknowledge in front of you that I'm weak, that I'm human, and that I sin because I'm weak, because I can't control myself. Facing your own humanity and humbly stating before Hashem, I know I sinned because I'm weak. So there's already a little bit of a rectification through that identification of why we sin. And another very important element of tshuva, I think, is strengthening one's consciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think we might have mentioned this already. The Rambam writes, boshti, I'm embarrassed. And busha is a reflection of realizing that someone saw what you did. If you do something that you shouldn't do, and you think nobody sees, you don't feel embarrassed. And then when you find out that someone really saw, you know, you left something up on your screen that you shouldn't have been looking at. So you're not embarrassed when it happens, because no one's in the room. But then when your roommate opens up your computer, or somebody you respect opens up your computer a day later and you realize you forgot to close the window, you're very embarrassed. If you do something, you know, you pick your nose and you don't think anybody sees, and then you turn around, you see someone's looking at you, so then you're embarrassed. Embarrassment comes when a person has the recognition that somebody was there, somebody saw it, then you're overcome with embarrassment. And if part of tshuva, as the Rambam writes, is boshti b'masai, it means that part of tshuva is recognizing that Hashem was there. I sinned, and you know what? I sort of sinned because I wasn't really thinking. I didn't really think Hashem took this so seriously. The busha is a recognition that Hashem was there. And every sin stems at some deep point from a lack of feeling Hashem's presence. And we've said this. Nobody is sinning during the Elah because you feel Hashem in the room. You know He's there. So you're not going to sin during that time. Whenever we sin, it has to be coming from a place that we don't really recognize that Hashem is there. Now, if I pulled you into the base medrash and I sat you down and I said, was Hashem there? Of course your answer is going to be yes. Of course you know Hashem was there. But that's the chait. We're just not thinking about that. When you're sinning, if I would stop you and say, wait a second, isn't Hashem here? There's a very good chance you'd say, yes, you're right, He's here. I shouldn't be doing this. But you don't think of that. You don't think of God when you're sinning. When you're caught up by sin, so it's as if God doesn't exist at that moment. And if we could pause and be more aware of Hashem's presence, we probably would sin less. That's why the Rambam adds into the introduction to Hilchos Tshuva in this Koteret. The Rambam writes that the element of tshuva, the yisod of tshuva, is to be shiyoshev achote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yizvadeh. It's to feel that lifnei Hashem. Ram did not need to write that in the Koteret. He could have just written, Shiyoshev achote mecheto v'yizvadeh, that a person should repent and say vidui. Why does he stick in lifnei Hashem? Because the goal of tshuva is to feel lifnei Hashem. The Rambam even says that in the halachos, when you're saying vidui, you should say, Ana Hashem chatasi avishi upashati lifonecha. I sinned before you. Because if sin stems from not recognizing that Hashem's there, so then the tikkun, the rectification, is to acknowledge that He's there, lifanecha. And that's something else that I think that we can be doing while we're in shul. We could be saying to ourselves, I recognize Hashem's presence. God, I'm standing before You. So to summarize, what are the three things that we should be thinking about during Shemona Esrei, during davening on Yom Kippur when we're standing there? Number one, we want to stand there and say, I'm batel to You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm weak. I'm mevatel myself to You. I'm mevatel my intellect to Your intellect. I recognize that Your plan is really what's right. That's number one. Number two, I'm weak. I'm human. It's hard for me to really follow through with what I know is right. And number three, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed and I recognize that You were there when I sinned and I feel Your presence now. And I'm taking it upon myself to be better aware of Your presence, to be more conscious of God. Because I know that that's going to help prevent me from sinning. Tshuva has to it two elements. When we do tshuva, we need to remove the punishment that we're supposed to get for our sins. That's the very baseline of tshuva. But there's another element of tshuva. And that is to fix and mend our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I come over and right in front of you, I throw a rock through your window of your brand new car. So number one, I now owe you $300. I have a bill. I ruined something. Something needs to be fixed. But in addition to that, I also just ruined our relationship. If I threw a rock at your car right in front of you, so that means something about our relationship. And even if I pay you back, it doesn't mean we're going to be tight again. It doesn't mean we're going to be close again. Because how could I disrespect you so much? You know, if I embarrass you in public. So I can apologize and I can try to fix the damage of what happened, the specific sin. But what about me and you? What about our relationship? So another thing to be thinking about during Yom Kippur davening is that, A, yes, I'll hate this and I'll hate that. And I want to get kapara for the actions that I did. But Hashem, I also want to rekindle the relationship. I know that our sins, my sins, have distanced me from You. It could be that that's the difference between kapara and tahara. We're going to be saying over and over in Yom Kippur davening, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem. On this day is the day of kapara. L'chaper eschem mikol chatoseichem. Lifnei Hashem titaru. That before God, I am tahor. What's this kapara and this tahara? Two different things. It could be that the kapara is about getting absolved, being absolved of punishment, of our obligation towards God because of what we did. But the tahara is the tikkun, it's the fixing of the relationship. So I think it's very important while we're saying our chetz, so many of us focus on Yom Kippur about Hashem, please don't punish me, please don't punish me. But equally important is that we're supposed to be asking Hashem, please bring me close to you again. Please allow us to have that relationship that someone who doesn't sin has with you. Someone who sins is distanced. And I don't want to be distanced. I want to be close. That's why I came to yeshiva this year. I want to learn Torah. I want to come close to you. So there's the accounting, like an accountant, of the sins I did. And that's important. I'll hate that I did this. I'll hate that I did that. But then you have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, okay, Hashem, so now that we got rid of all those sins, bring me close again. Let me be loved. You know, Rosh Hashanah is a day of a king and his subjects. And Yom Kippur is supposed to be a day of two lovers. A husband and his wife. Hashem and Klal Yisrael. And we need to make ourselves, bring ourselves to a place where we feel that we want that loving relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mission at the end of Maseches Tainis says, Lo hayu yomim tovim liYisrael, ki chamisha asher ba'av v'yom ha-kippurim. There were no greater days, happy days for Klal Yisrael, than the 15th of Av, which is a day that's connected with Shiduchim, and Yom HaKippurim. And I want you to realize that Yom HaKippurim and Tu B'Av are mentioned together because they're actually both days of Shiduchim. They're both days of love. Yom Kippur is a day of love. It's the day, the Gemara there says, it's the day that we got the Lucho Shnios. It's the day that Hashem said, you know what? I love you again. I know I broke the luchos. I know we broke the luchos. I know we had this distance between us because of Cheda Egel, but let's rehash the relationship. And the end of that Mishnah quotes a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, "V'yom chasunaso, v'yom simchas libo." And the pasuk there says, and the Mishnah says, what does it mean there? The pasuk says that this great day, Yom Chasunaso. What is this Yom Chasunaso? The day of his wedding, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Zumat and Torah. And Rashi says, yeah, the second luchos. Yom Chatunato, Yom Chasunoso, the day of his wedding, is a reference to Yom HaKippurim, Rashi says on the Mishnah. Yom Kippur is called the day of our wedding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What an amazing thing. It's a day of tremendous happiness, but it's a happiness because of our closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our love and his love for us. And that's why Yom Kippur is such a special day. That's why it's such a happy day. So if we enter Yom Kippur seriously, we do our vidui mincha before Yom Kippur. We go into Yom Kippur ready to reorient ourselves intellectually, to say, Hashem, nichamti, I'm reassessing the direction I take in life. I'm being my vatel myself in front of you. I'm recognizing and acknowledging my weakness, and I'm increasing my awareness of you in order to rectify the sins. So then Yom Kippur will be this day of Yom Chasunaso. It will be our day of marriage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It will be a day of love where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will love us and we will love him. And it will propel us into a tremendous year of Avodas Hashem and growth in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to wish all of you that you should have a tremendous davening.